Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for staying with me today. Thanks for hanging around with me. You're going to be glad you did because we got some exciting stuff coming at you straight ahead. Two ladies have joined us now, are joining us now, to talk to us a little bit about, we're talking a little politics, and especially with regard to the way women see things, and especially with regard to the way women entrepreneurs see things. And first up, we got Lisa Dolan. She is the Presidential Power Team co-chair on the Republican side. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And this, and of course, folks, as I mentioned earlier, this is these ladies are members of WIP, Women Impacting Public Policy. And then we also have Laura Boyd, who's the same has her counterpart of the, on the Presidential Power Team over on the Democrat side. Laura, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jim.
Say hi to Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Hey, Laura.
Now, and ladies, I was telling the audience in the earlier segment that one of the things that I really admire about WIP, besides the your co-founders and who are good friends of ours, Terry Neese and Barbara, help me out, Barbara.
Kassoff.
I just lost it there for a second. Barbara Kassoff and Terry Neese, both wonderful ladies. Is that you guys are an aggregation of a lot of different women's groups on both sides of the aisle, aren't you?
That's correct. Yes, we are.
And so, and I've been to your meetings before. I've seen you guys in action. I've seen you set together. I really wish that our members of Congress, Laura, could come and watch you guys behave together as Democrats and Republicans and make things happen. I really wish our members of Congress could see that. What do you think, Laura?
Well, I think absolutely. I'm a former elected myself, and I've always said that for 3 months out of 24, if you're on a two-year election cycle, then you can, be quote-unquote adversarial. But for those other 21 months, you need to be doing the people's business.
That's right. Lisa, what do you think?
Well, I think that they should come and see how we work together, how we collaborate. I mean, Laura's on the Democrat side, I'm on the Republican side, but we work very well together. For the most part, we all want basically the same things. And, I think they can definitely, lessons learned, they can come and learn some good lessons from
exactly,
us.
Exactly, on how to behave, I think.
Right.
Lisa, tell us about what the Presidential Power Team is.
I'm sorry, did you ask me?
Yes, Lisa. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. What is the Presidential Power Team?
Well,
WIP's Presidential Power Team.
WIP's Presidential Power Team, basically, last fall we activated it to engage women business owners in the electoral process at the grassroots level, because if you're not involved, if you own a business and you're not involved in politics, as Terry Neese always says, then politics is going to run your business, and we
right.
don't want that. So it's very important to engage people, no matter what side they're on. Get them involved, get them so that they know who the candidates are and what they stand for and how that impacts our respective businesses.
Mm-hmm. Laura, what do you think?
I think absolutely. And what we do know about women business owners is that we have a 90% voting rate.
Wow.
Whether we're Democrats or Republicans, we listen. We turn out to vote, and we support candidates with our wallets as well as with our computer systems and our email networks. We're out there.
You know, one of the things that happened to me about 3 or 4 years ago, Laura, I heard Hillary Clinton speak to a group of there were 1,000 women and me. I think I was the only guy there. I guess I made it legal. But anyway, she spoke to that group, and I'm telling you, Laura, she seduced that group. I have never seen anybody change and transform as much as she had changed. That's the first time I'd heard her speak in a long time, and she just really did a great job. And here's what she said. She said, one of my things that I'm doing right now is I'm registering women to vote. Now, she didn't say I was registering Democrats to vote. She said, I'm registering women to vote. And she said, there are 50 million people who aren't voting that are women. And I hadn't thought about that. And when you add it all up, though, if you got 200 million voters and half of the voters vote and half don't, the eligible ones vote and half don't, you know, half of those are women, and that's 50 million women. I think it's helped her in this primary cycle, but she's really done a good job, Laura, of getting women to vote, and so my hat's off to her for that.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and I think for many women, this is an important model. This is an important process to again watch a female leader. And you talk about you being the one male in the room. Well, many times Hillary is the one female in the room when it comes to the arena of politics. Now, of course, on Lisa's side, we've had Condoleezza Rice, who is also the same situation, mm-hmm. one of the few females in the room. And these are very, very important leaders in terms of what's going to be possible for us as women entrepreneurs in our future.
Right. And I'll tell you, Lisa, when I saw her doing that, I made a prediction. I predicted, and that this was 4 years ago. I don't know that I would do that today, but 4 years ago I said, Lisa, if Hillary Clinton is the nominee for the Democrats in 2008, that there will be a minority and or a female on the ticket, on the Republican ticket. What do you think, Lisa?
I'd like to see that. I mean, I love Condoleezza Rice, but
I think she's too smart to get involved in that.
There you go.
I think she's way too smart for that, in my opinion.
I think you're right, Jim, on that. You're right.
So how do you guys work together as people of opposite on different sides of the aisle? How do you two work together on this power team thing?
Well, we work together because at the end of the day, what we want to do is we just want to get women engaged, women business owners. So we're not there fighting for who's going to come to either side. You know, Laura's not there saying, come to my side, and I'm not doing that either. All we're mm-hmm. saying is, listen, keep an open mind. Listen to the platform that each of the candidates stands on and understand what they stand for and what they're saying. And listen, and how does that affect your business? Does it? Doesn't it? And then go out and make a decision and support that candidate.
Right. Give us the website, Laura.
The website is www.wipp.org. W-I-P-P.
WIPP.org. Check it out, folks. We come back, we're going to talk some more about, and I'm going to ask both of these ladies, that's going to be my first question, what do women entrepreneurs want in a presidential candidate? Right after these messages, 20 after the hour, here is ZZ Top to take us out.
Hard to believe that a man of your humility and quiet demeanor could have that long a career in radio.
Here are the Stones to bring us back in. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is where you can find all the things we do here, the show and the archives, the articles, the Brain Trust members, our newsletter, our blog, all that's there, and the smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz is where you can get small business answers now. So go there and ask a question. We'll do our best to give you an answer. And it's all free. Everything we have is just for you. We got a couple of outstanding ladies as our guests this half hour, ladies and gentlemen. Lisa Dolan is WIPP's Presidential Power Team co-chair on the Republican side, and Laura, she's the chair, I should say, and then Laura Boyd is the Democrat side of that program, the Presidential Power Team co-chair for the Democrats through the organization that they share in common, WIPP, Women Impacting Public Policy, which is an organization I absolutely encourage you and have now for many years encouraged you to find out more about, and that's WIPP, WIPP.org. Okay, Laura, I'm going to let you go first. What do women entrepreneurs, not women, but women entrepreneurs, want in a presidential candidate?
Well, Jim, I can actually speak pretty specifically to that. We do an annual survey of our membership. We represent 1.5 million women entrepreneurs, and we do an annual survey, and for the fifth year in a row, the 07 survey shows that healthcare is overwhelmingly the most critical issue affecting women's businesses.
And this poll is for both sides of the aisle, right?
That's correct. It's a nonpartisan poll. It's through all of our membership.
So healthcare is the number one issue among women, but how about women entrepreneurs?
No, women entrepreneurs. This is relegated to women entrepreneurs.
Okay,
because
right.
We not only need it for our families, we need it for our employees.
Right. Okay. All right. Well said. All right. That's good. And I want to come back to that in a second, but I want to let Lisa tell us what she thinks on the Republican side. What do you think women entrepreneurs want?
Well, I don't think it's specific to the Republicans. I think it's to everyone. And again, it goes back to the survey that WIP does annually. But the Women's Procurement Program, as an entrepreneur, I believe that a lot of women are looking for that rule to be implemented, that 5% carve out.
This is to give women access to government contracts.
Federal contracting. It's a set aside. They have a few different programs. They have the 8A, they have the SDB.
Which we've talked about many times on the show before.
Right. And for those women that don't meet those classifications, whether they're not in a designated group or they can't meet the personal financial net worth because they exceed it.
8A certification is a pretty rigorous certification.
It's an arduous task to get it, absolutely.
And so what you're saying is what the set-asides make some room at the table for those who aren't 8A certified.
Well, that is correct, yes. The set-aside would do that. For those that are not 8A, if they can get into the women's procurement, yes. If there's a 5% set-aside for women and it goes across, it doesn't matter what you are, whether you're in a designated group or not, it doesn't matter what your personal net worth is, it's just about being in an industry that there is not a lot of women in, and so there is it levels the playing field.
Okay. Let's talk about the healthcare thing for a second. Now, Laura, Mrs. Clinton, Senator Clinton, is obviously she's well known for what they now call HealthCare, which is more of a universal approach to healthcare solutions, right?
That's correct. She had the courage to take that on in 93 and 94 and maybe didn't go into it the way that certainly produced the results she would have wanted, but she's long been known as a health care advocate.
Right. Well, one of the things that she said recently that troubles me, frankly, Laura, was that someone was talking to her about how would you enforce this? How would you make your form of health care happen? And I hate to use the word universal, but it's the closest thing I think to it. And maybe she even uses that term. But she said, "Well, we will have to have some enforcement mechanisms." And I'm paraphrasing her only just a little bit. But basically, what she said was that we would have to enforce it through what the mechanism that she didn't use this word, but the mechanism would be garnishing wages.
Well,
what do you think about
think
that?
I don't think philosophically you find this any differently than with the requirement that you have insurance for your automobile should you hit someone. That is a smaller scale. But, yes, indeed, she does talk about a universal plan. What's important about it, though, Jim, that's different, is her plan allows Americans to choose. They must be covered, but they can choose between their current plan or they can buy into a public plan that's the same one that's given members of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't have some enforcement mechanism, then you will continue to have those who either just try to divert themselves from their responsibility or who are just lazy and don't get around to doing it and yet cost us the most money in our health care by utilizing the emergency room system.
Right. Lisa, what do you think?
Well, I don't agree with Senator Clinton's plan, and quite frankly, all it's going to do is cause us to pay a lot more taxes for people who can't get their own health care. I think, unfortunately, Romney dropped out, but I thought that his health plan was really a great strategy for a stronger America. He had a great plan in Massachusetts. I believe that if you offer tax breaks to people to pay for their health insurance and not involve the government without mandating or garnishing people's wages, you know what?
Right.
I think that's going a little too far.
Well, I'll tell you what, ladies, we're going to get you back on another day. We'll continue this debate. Thank you both for being here. Good job today, and thank you for the work that you're doing.
Thank you, Jim.
Lisa Dolan, Laura Boyd. Quick break, right back with Steve Forbes.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.